give us a call, 243-4351. I look at my pond, I know we're dry, because it's down probably at least a foot.
Okay. And it has scum on top of it?
Yeah. You know, speaking of that, before I go any much further, because I'm going to forget about this, I noticed different fungi in my yard.
Sure.
One of them was a pink something or other.
Okay.
And I think it was growing off the base of a tree.
Ooh, that's not good.
And on the south side.
I don't care about the side growing off the base of the tree is not good, which means that you got trunk rot in there.
Ooh.
Which means that, I mean, because those mushrooms only grow or basically grow on decaying matter or organic matter. They have to feed on something. So on
this is the base. This is the very base off, you know,
just
the roots.
Yeah.
Even there.
Even there. It's the worst place. I mean, it'd be better if it was up. But at the base, you may have basal rot there. And, of course, if the tree is rotten there, that means you get a windstorm. And it,
I know those.
Radio's not a visual medium, but the arm just came down.
But why is it pink?
Genetics.
No,
I do not know why it's pink. I know. They
you
come in white,
expert.
Pink, yellow.
You're an expert. You're supposed to know this right off the top of your head.
Am I far enough away from Springfield to be an expert? Am I far enough retired to be a retired expert?
I should be concerned.
You might want to remove that fungi.
Already has been.
And it take like a pocket knife or a screwdriver and see if the wood right at the base is really soft.
Hmm.
If it is, it's like, oh, crud, it's really soft. Now what do I have to do? And at that point, make sure you might, you know, consider pulling some of the soil or anything around the base of it so it dries out more, particularly on the south side where the sun will hit it. Rotten trees can stand forever and ever and ever, but if they keep on rotting and rotting and rotting, they eventually say, yeah, enough's enough, and they fall in the middle of the forest, and they do make a sound.
Yeah, well,
even if you're not there.
My wife, I told you that story, didn't I? My wife wakes up one morning, looks outside. As she looks outside, one of the trees, and we have
hundreds
of oak trees in back. One of the trees just happens to fall at that moment. Doesn't hit anything, falls, lays the tip of it's in the pond, just falls over.
Yeah.
And it's just, so you're right, we did hear it.
And
it does make a sound.
And it also makes the ground move a little bit, too. I felt that once.
I was just glad that it didn't fall the other way and fall on the house, which is a big problem.
Yes.
Okay, let's get to the topic at hand, whatever that might be.
Heat.
For a lot of people, I've got a thousand things running through my head, but for a lot of people, they put out the garden, they have watered it, and they may be asking themselves, how much water do I need in this heat, and when do I water, and what's the best idea?
Early in the morning, the best. I would say 5:30 to 8:30 in the morning is the best. If you're watering, I'm going to say using a sprinkler.
Yeah.
If you're using drip irrigation hoses, soaker hoses, they can be going on right now because you're not getting the foliage wet. And particularly if you have the ground mulched and the hoses are underneath the mulch, perfect. You can run them even in the evening. Probably with this heat, ideally it'd be nice to have 2 inches of water a week. That's going to keep your lawns green, though I don't know if that's really what we want because they're cool season grasses, but it'll keep them green, it'll help the plants grow, but it's best in 2 1-inch increments. So water today, wait 3 or 4 days, water another inch.
So don't water it every day, don't soak it every day.
No, because you just get shallow roots at that point. You want deep root system. And with the heat, yes, the plants are going to look like they're wilting, particularly the hydrangeas, which just suck up water, like it's going out of style. But it will, if you wet the ground deep, it will start drawing those roots down deep. If you water shallow every day, the roots are going to stay shallow.
Okay. We do have somebody calling in. Let's do this and do that and do that. Yes, your comment or question, please.
Yeah, well, I've got three.
Okay, that's fine. Go ahead.
How does an organic gardener deal with Japanese beetles? I've also grown successfully tomatoes for years, but about the last 3 years, they develop a rust bump on the lower stem, spreads up through the plant, killing the leaves. And I'd like to know if Dave's been back to the glacier at Mount Robson.
Okay. No for the last one, though I would love to do that, particularly right this week when the temperatures are 95 degrees, it would, really. I believe it's the Berg Glacier, B-E-R-G Glacier at Mount Robson, and there's Robson Lake. It's the highest point in the Canadian Rockies, believe it or not.
Right, and it's named after you.
I wish it was, but I'm not that old. I may look there
no,
with
no,
a
no,
good...
No, 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 he is that old. Go ahead.
Yes, I am that old. Japanese beetles organically. I haven't seen them come out yet. I haven't seen a lot of them, though. I suspect we're right at that point because I have seen the June beetles coming out. I'm keeping my fingers crossed that the winter killed a lot of the Japanese beetle larvae, but as soon as you say that, tomorrow they're going to come out in big swarms. But they did not like our winter. It got we had a lot of cold and not a lot of snow, so the cold did penetrate the ground. Organically, for the larvae, you can use the milky spore disease. Short of that, when they are up above
wait,
the ground.
Milky spore disease?
Right, it's a fun.
I thought maybe it was a rock band you played in.
Milky
sang
spore
in,
disease. Hey, that sounds like a great rock band. Probably never heard on this
got,
radio station,
got
though. Right. Milky spore disease will kill the larva. It has to be fresh milky spore disease that you initially start. It basically takes 2 or 3 years with the larva building up for 2 or 3 years before the spore builds up, and then you get a good control. Yeah. Now, Japanese beetles, like things like the linden tree that's right out here in front of the station, which basically
will be shredded, yeah.
But it comes back every year, so it's really not that problematic. Netting is what I've seen people, I'm going the organic route. Chemically, when the beetles are above ground and feeding, organic control is practically next to impossible. The chemical rotenone, which we used to have, was a great organic product, but they've taken that off the market. Sometimes the neem oil, sometimes the insecticidal soaps might work. Not really 100%. If you have something like roses, blueberries, berries, anything that you might feed, that they might feed on, netting tends to be about one of the best bets. Going out there and flipping them in a can of gasoline or soapy water will do the same thing. I've had people catch them in paper sacks. The young ones aren't flying around as much as the older ones do, because the young ones are looking for, can we say sex on radio?
Yes, if you can.
Okay, are looking to mate, and that's all. That's what they're thinking. So they're easy to catch at that point.
So, Craig, you have them at your house? Okay, all right.
Okay.
That means they're around.
That's
rust.
Terrible. And then finally, rust on tomatoes. When you've had them for 3 years, and if you keep moving the tomatoes to a different spot and you keep having it, for some reason, then you have the rust in the soil. You might try growing the tomatoes above ground in a raised bed. You might try growing them in pots. You might let the soil stay fallow for a couple of years. You might try different tomato cultivars and varieties, but the rust is a fungal disease. And once it's there, it will stay there.
Oh, boy.
The other thing to do is when you plant the tomatoes, let's say in a new location, mulch them heavily with straw. And I'm saying a foot of straw around the base of the plant. What you're doing is you're trying to keep all of those rust spores that might be in the soil from splashing back up on top of the plant and then progressing and going all the way up. You're mulching the heck out of the plants. Even if you want to get to the point, and I know you said organically for the Japanese beetles, so I'm going to assume maybe more organic gardener, which kind of limits the use of plastic, but if you put plastic down, black plastic down on the ground, make your hole slit for the tomato plant, and then put mulch on top of the black plastic so at least you don't see the black plastic, the black plastic will keep the fungal spores from splashing up on top of the plants. Unfortunately, you got that balance between organic gardening and using the plastic. layers of newspaper might work. Anything to keep that soil from splashing back up onto the leaves. As far as fungicides, there really aren't any organic, good organic fungicides that do a good job.
All right, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah. Horrible.
Let's see, two other things you could do. One is what I do a lot, is ignore the problem altogether.
Sure.
And the other thing is leave Illinois, I guess.
Well, I guess, yeah, but where is better than Illinois?
There you go.
Where is
British Columbia, where Mount Watson, that kind of stuff up there, they're closer to Japan.
Well, maybe the Japanese beetles will go back home. I don't know.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Take care.
Bye. Oh, it's sad to hear the Japanese beetles are out.
But I know. I had heard somebody mention them the other day. I didn't see it. What I did notice, though, early on, early as I can ever remember, a lot of June bugs.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, filthy all over the place, out in front.
And then they're gone.
Yeah.
And the good thing is that this heat right now is a good thing to cut down on the insects. Lifespan, because really? They don't like heat. Even though they're cold-blooded creatures, 95, 90 degrees, 100 degrees is not, it cuts down their lifespan really quickly.
Hmm. And as I recall, June bugs, indication of grub problems in your yard.
Potential. Right.
And
right.
That produces moles, and we've had a whole bunch of moles the last couple of years.
Well, and of course you live next to a wooded area, and that's moles are saying, ooh, wooded area, that's my natural habitat. Yes. Oh, grubs. Oh, this is great. This guy is providing me turf grass. Yes.
I have a question. I have more questions about moles. I have a question about moles.
Dermatologist.
And take your calls at 243-4351. You can even email me at gscott@wlds.com. We'll pass along the question today back after this.
Now, you should have had it as gscott@gmail.com. See, so people remember the G. Scott.
Dave Robson, and if you've got a question. Okay, I said a couple of questions coming back. Here we go. Somebody calls in, what kind of landscape mulch is the best? Does color matter?
Color doesn't matter, except it's going to attract your eye. If it's if it's orange or white, and I'm going to ask you, why do you want people to look at your mulch as opposed to your plants? Mm-hmm. A lot of people, and I go with wood chips, and I tend to go more with the natural cedar because it doesn't break down as fast, but it does break down. I have friends who use ground tires, mm-hmm. You know, the tire mulch. I'm always leery what happens if somebody throws a cigarette into that mulch, but, you know, and it doesn't break down.
Which is a plus and a minus.
Right. It's a good plus and it's a good minus. And the bags of it are a lot heavier.
Yes.
You can get a different colors. You know, there's green, there's red. I tend to say for the mulch, I like the wood chips the best. Cocoa bean hulls are great. It smells like chocolate in your landscape after you're done, except you only put them on at about a half an inch, because if you put them on an inch, they start molding and you get this white mold over it.
We got chocolate mint, so it's the same.
Oh, difference. Chocolate mint, except it, yeah.
It is. It's very there.
Yes. I tend to want more of the natural look than anything else because I don't want to call attention to the mulch. I want it to serve its purpose. Old grass clippings, people use that. I think the thing to do is to remember organic mulches break down and improve the soil, mm-hmm. but they break down, so you have to apply them year after year. Around trees and shrubs, don't put it on more than 3 or 4 inches. In your vegetable gardens, around your flowers, 6 to 8 inches would be enough. Again, I just like cedar on everything, though I do shred leaves up in the fall, and the leaves become mulch, too, and disintegrate.
As I recall, the advice for moles is as follows.
Dermatologist first, if it's on the skin.
Find the main run. And correct. The way to find the main run is to push down on the earth.
Right.
It comes back up again. That means that's a main run.
Correct.
Because moles will go out into their tributaries.
Right, the feeding runs. Yes.
Only once.
Yes. Because once they fed there and they've killed everything there or eaten everything right. there, they don't need to go there.
I got a son-in-law who sits with a spade. He's discovered when the moles begin working, and that's when he nails them. Now, for the rest of us...
Now, is he retired?
No, he's not, but he's that way.
Okay.
I got the old guillotine...
The mole, prong thing.
Yeah.
We had a collie growing up, And I just remember the collie sitting there, border collie, just sitting there and waiting to see it and then pouncing and just digging and then grabbing that mole with his mouth and throwing it up in the air, which is enough to break the neck, and that was it for the mole. Then he'd grab the mole again and bring it over to you so you could pat him on the top of the head and, you know, throw the mole away. But, yeah, mole traps, you're not going to find them in brand new subdivisions out of an old cornfield. You're going to find them around a wooded area.
Okay.
And you have that, and I have that. I live across from a park in Springfield, and they go underneath the street, I'm sure, and into my yard.
So all the little things that you can buy at the store, little pellets you drop down there, do they work?
No. If the pellet is meant that the mole has to eat it, it won't work because moles only eat animal material.
Okay.
You'd almost have to cover those pellets in bacon in order to do that. And
then we'd be eating them.
Other animals might sniff them out and eat it, and then you got a problem there. Gases don't really work. It's all of those little ground squirrels and the 13-line chipmunks. Those are the ones that will eat some of those pellets, those seeds, and so forth.
We've got somebody on the line. Let's go to the phone, do this, that, and that. Yes. Yes, your comment or question.
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead.
Yes, I have a Lofos plant, L-O-F-O-S. Supposed to have lots of rose, trumpet-shaped flowers, and it's not hardly blooming at all. It said sun, depart shade. I've had it in the shade, I've had it in the sun, I've watered it more and less, and just has very few blooms. I wonder if you can offer any help.
How old is the plant?
I just bought it, like, around Mother's Day.
Give it some time. When you buy any plant and put it in the ground and trying to move it, it has to acclimate to an area. So what it's trying to do is get established, and all of a sudden now we have heat, which doesn't help it to get established a lot, especially if it's under a lot of stress. If you really want a plant to bloom, pinch it back a little bit. Take your clippers to the top inch. That's going to be pruning it. It's going to stimulate side shoots, but it'll also tell the plants, oops, something's going on. I may need to flower. But give it some time. I mean, it's only been about a month right now. And while you have some plants like petunias and zinnias that go whole hog, not every plant does that, especially.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thanks for your call. L-O-F-O-S, Lofos?
I thought she said U-S at the end.
Oh, maybe she did.
Lofos.
Okay.
It's definitely not, I don't think, the loofah plant she's talking about.
No.
But there are so many different weird plants on right now, but if she's just time, give it time.
Take a break. We're back after this final timeout.
Stop the recording. Stop the recording.
Yeah.
And then you have to press 4 buttons.
Back on the air. Final couple of minutes. Dave Robson, our guest this morning. You're making observations about corn coming over.
Yes, and I saw somebody who had sweet corn, and it was blue, tasseling in their yard. So, you know, 4th of July coming up.
Tasseling's a little bit early, isn't it?
Well, for sweet corn, you know, they take the gamble of planting early, and they got it. You know, so for them, they're lucky.
But you have to plant so much sweet corn. That's the tough part there.
If you like really good sweet corn.
Yeah.
And that's why I go to the farmer's market.
Yeah, exactly.
It's still the best place to...
Coming up July 4th. That's one of the dates, as I recall. You got to do this on July 4th. And the thing we have to
fireworks.
Do is apply weed killer, right? Don't you? You always said...
July 4th is usually when the grubs are laying their eggs.
Right.
So that's really about the only thing we've ever talked about on July 4th.
I thought you had to apply something on July 4th around a holiday. You always say that Labor
sunscreen,
Day.
Sunscreen.
Okay, you're not being much help.
No, I know.
I did.
She doesn't laugh as much as Carrie does.
She's tired of me, so I can imagine.
Okay.
But the one thing did hold true this spring. We had yard work done. They put down a nice mat of grass, watered it, came up green. And a lot of that grass is now dead.
Well, it's, again, shallow root system and heat. And
but I will aerate, I will overseed in the fall, and
right.
It'll be fine eventually.
And I would point out, you know, the weed killer, No, it's usually right around more July that we do some of the weed killer, and yeah, then in September. But I would not recommend weed killer at all at this temperature.
Okay.
Even if you're going to say, oh, I'm going to spot treat or with Roundup, when it gets this hot, a lot of those chemicals can vaporize quickly. We get a little breeze, and the next thing you know, that's moved off target, and it's going someplace where it shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. And even the farmers are probably not out spraying because they know at 95 degrees, you're going to get volatilization, and
okay.
Next thing you know, 5 miles away, you get damage.
Good, but we got a rain coming the next several days.
Oh, I hope so.
Make everything better.
I hope so.
Right.
Of course, I'm watering today.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
We'll make it that way.
Yes.
Dave Robson, our guest, WLDS Jacksonville. It's 11 o'clock.